And welcome to Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. I call Richard Tenney, your host for the next 90 minutes, along with the lovely Georgia Parker, who's feeling much better after her Lane Where and Auckland City Limits experience. Hey, Georgia.
My laneway experience is really good, probably because I didn't see any hot dogs on a stick, so I probably put it down to that.
You're feeling better though, all those hot dogs you ate yesterday?
I was not well. It's a good day though.
What have you learned from this?
The amount of hot dogs on a stick that I can eat. I think the limit is 3.
Oh, is that all?
I can eat 3, but more than 3 is not okay.
When you said to me before we went on air, I ate a whole lot of hot dogs at ACL, I thought you meant like 12.
I'm quite small, though.
3. Mm. 3 over a period of what?
Well, I don't know, a couple of hours. No, I ate 4, but I reckon I can eat 3.
Alright. Okay. But
I thought four hot dogs on a stick is quite a lot of hot dogs on a stick.
It's 4 too many for me. I used to eat them. The battered ones, eh?
Yeah.
With tomato sauce. Did you have tomato sauce?
Yes.
See, that's what the arts are all about, isn't it? Overeating free food.
Hey, actually, as a part of my, spoiler alert, as a part of my review later for Billy T Jams, I went to Billy T Jams on Friday night, and they gave me some free best foods mayo.
Wow.
I'm just saying, if that's what the arts is about, condiments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could have dipped your hot dogs in the best foods mayonnaise if you'd taken it to ACL.
And I got a free biscuit when I went to Judge, Jury,
and Executioner.
Cookie Monster on Wednesday.
Well, he said that.
It's amazing.
He said that in his when he was on the show. He said that was going to happen.
This is good.
This is the only reason you went. I'm seeing a theme here for you, Georgia. It used to be about dates, now it's about food.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. It's about the kai. All about the kai.
Highlight of yesterday, Richard.
Yes?
I'm asking.
Oh, me? Ah, ACL, Auckland City Limits. Highlight of yesterday. Well, I really enjoyed Catch Fire in the afternoon.
Yes.
Listen to everyone out there. If you're in the sun in Auckland for more than 2.5 hours, sunblock twice.
Yes.
I now have stripes.
Yes.
I missed a bit. It looks very funny. Definitely Grace Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what can you say? Grace. She was awesome.
Yeah.
She did a costume change for every song.
Yeah.
And she was only on for 45 minutes because she was late. I don't know why she was late.
A lot of people were saying that it's a once in a lifetime seeing her. What do you think? Do you think it's once in a lifetime?
I don't think she'll come back, although she said come back. She said, get them to bring me back and pay me. She said, pay me. So... Yeah, no, she was pretty awesome.
Okay, if you were to see her,
yep.
Where would you see her? What would be a good space? Maybe Vector? Spark Arena?
I don't know, because you know what? What really, really pissed me off yesterday was that we got there a bit early to get, you know, we saw the back, we didn't go up the front, we saw the back, we got there early enough to look at what was going on.
Yeah.
And then she came on stage and this woman hopped on the shoulders of her boyfriend about halfway down and the red dress, so if you're listening, I'm talking about you, yes, and pretty much blocked the view of a whole lot of people.
Yeah. For how long?
About 10 minutes. But then someone started talking to her and then I think she got off because she looked a bit embarrassed.
I think in situations like that, it's polite, even good manners, to throw things at people.
Well, I just turned around to one of the people I was with and I said, what's your softball like? And he said, good. And I said, could you throw my cup at that woman? Because my aim's terrible. So, but she just, and then we turned around and she got down. I'm going to ask Sean's birthday whether at their gigs people get on shoulders and dance. So from Sean's birthday, we have got Cassie, Jake, and, of course, Sean, whose birthday it must be.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Every day is Sean's birthday.
Every day is Sean's birthday. Is that why you named it Sean's birthday, the band?
There are reasons that we named it Sean's B-Day.
Sean's B-Day, which is quite a different thing.
It's either... We'll it's always either, it's Sean's, fine, yeah. but it's birthday, B-Day. We don't mind.
The day, if you want.
That's what I was thinking. That's where I went.
Sometimes. Yeah. We've been called Sean's B-Day.
Yeah.
It's our least favourite.
Yeah. But at least you come across as being clean.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, you're clean.
Are we clean?
Yeah.
Mm.
Let's find out.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Who's to say?
Well, we're going to hear some music from you guys. Do people dance on shoulders at your gigs?
Have we had a shoulder dance?
Yeah, St. Paddy's Day last year.
We have had shoulder dances, but it's not a regular occurrence.
As musicians, when you look out to the thousands you're performing in front of.
Millions, even.
Millions, yeah.
One time.
To mum, when you're performing to mum.
You joke, but my mum comes to every gig.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
She's our biggest fan. Yeah.
Oh, She's great, and she dances harder than anyone else.
Wow.
Shout out to Jake's mum.
Shout out to Patricia Love.
Oh. Is she English? Shout out to Patricia Love?
No.
Or is it Patricia Love?
No.
Like Courtney Love? Are you related to somebody famous?
No.
Or is your mum, Courtney's sister or something?
Courtney Love was married to Kurt Cobain.
Yep.
I'm related to neither.
Okay. But your mother might be. Have you asked the question?
I've never asked her. She could be. Maybe I've just never brought it up.
Maybe we should have got your mum in the studio just to chat about her relationship with Courtney Love.
You know what? You could book it next time. I think that would be a conversation to have.
This is what happens on Kickouts. We just go off somewhere that never planned to go off on. I'm still trying to get an answer about the people on the shoulders.
Once.
Yeah. Does it annoy you? Do you think if you're an audience member watching a gig, what do you think about it?
I don't know. Our shows are pretty hectic. So if you won't last long if you go up.
Right.
I think the funniest thing we've had is a six nine friend of mine, six nine tall. We played What Do You Do with a Drunken Sailor on St. Paddy's Day, and as we built it up and got faster and faster and louder and louder and louder, he's jumping a good 3 foot higher than everyone else, making the whole room
pogo.
Yeah, and everyone's kind of worried, and everyone looks at him, it's like, what's going on? Do we have to calm down? But no, we kept going. It was awesome.
My mum actually came to that gig. Mums at our gigs.
Yeah. Wow.
The mums, they don't get on the shoulders.
No.
I was just going to ask, so does your mum know Courtney Love?
No, she definitely doesn't know Courtney Love. Okay.
You can't answer that with absolute certainty, though, can you?
Well, I've never asked, but...
Exactly.
I'm going to go.
Have you ever asked your mum, Sean?
I've never asked my mum if she knows Courtney Love.
When is your birthday, Sean?
September the 9th.
Okay.
Yeah, it was actually our very first show.
Yeah.
So that's why we called our band Sean's Birthday. Mm.
That's where the name came from.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
I'm just going to cross that answer. Questions. Where did it come from?
We joked, we were like, we should just call it Sean's Birthday because it's on Sean's birthday. And then we thought about it for a minute and we're like, that's pretty good, actually. Mm. Okay.
Do you give any comments about the name?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It's a talking point. Makes it easy to remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the running joke is like, Sean's birthday every gig. And I'm like, I'm 45 now.
Oh, wow.
He's getting pretty old.
We often sing him happy birthday at the gigs.
That's how I greeted you at the door. It just seemed like the obvious thing
exactly.
to do.
Yeah, for sure. I should stipulate that none of us know how to play Happy Birthday. No. We can sing it, and then we just kind of...
But we try.
Make it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your genre of music's a bit punk, a bit fast, a bit...
Yeah, it's like kind of...
We call it fun punk, is what we call it.
We made that one up.
Today. We made it up. Today we started calling it Runk Park.
Yeah.
Runk Park.
Is another one. We just like to make up new genres.
That's why we made the band, to
invent genres.
No, we definitely take a lot of cues from kind of like that surf punk scene going on in Australia at the moment.
Yeah.
Got to open. We're lucky enough to open for Skigs when they came over. Dumb Punts and a whole bunch of our friends, Jake's older brother actually in Byron Bay, so they lot of that surf punky kind of
it's like garage almost.
garage surf punk monk yeah. rocks, alts, yeah. classical.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you say when we were sound checking last night? You were like Himalayan.
I really hope you weren't going to ask me this because I don't remember.
Jazz. I can't remember what it was.
It was like new wave Hawaiian art jazz yeah. or something.
Do you, yeah. Jake? Are you the singer?
Yeah.
So you could use the mic then maybe when you talk. see what I did there.
I don't have headphones on. So
I know, no, you don't. Sorry, we're short of a set of
headphones. I can't tell how if I'm coming through properly or not.
We missed everything you said about your mum and Courtney Love.
Oh, no.
I know. No, I'm joking. We got you. Just, you know.
I make up for it by talking really loud, so.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Is that how you're the singer?
Yeah, I just talked the loudest.
I thought Sean... You'd be the same because the band's named after you.
Nah, it's actually named after my birthday, actually. So pure coincidence. Okay.
Minor technicality, Georgia. Anything?
Just thinking about. Do you remember right before the show when you were explaining the premise of the show and you're like, it's not your normal type of interview.
Yeah.
You really nailed it then.
Thanks.
We've spent a lot of time talking about Courtney Love. I'm just commenting. I'm not criticising. Yeah. I think it's good. We could do it more often.
If it was, if you were interviewing Courtney Love, though, it would be a normal interview.
It would.
True.
So,
well, I would probably be asking if her mother knew Courtney Love.
Ooh.
Holly, welcome to Kickout. Yeah, Holly, you're here all alone, but that's not unusual here on Kickout. You're from Wellington.
Yes,
you're up here. Developing a new contemporary dance work with two people from Sydney and someone else from Wellington. You're all in Auckland.
Yeah.
At the Wellesley Street Studio.
Yes.
And so why in Auckland? If none of you are from Auckland. It's a bit confusing.
Well, because that's the only place that's going to give us money to develop it right now, basically. So, yeah, I just applied for a bunch of residencies all the time, everywhere around New Zealand, and Wellesley was like, yep, let's go. So we're here. I've dragged them all here, two of them from Sydney. So it's a big effort for us. But
Leaving Wellington, coming to Auckland is certainly a big effort.
It is.
Yeah. Do you like Auckland? Do you like our city? Be honest, come on.
No, I don't.
No.
But also, I thought I didn't like it, but then when I was here for a month, and I sort of, you know, was coming around to it. The weather's a lot better than Wellington.
Yeah, and you've had the shittest weather ever in the last month, really.
Yes, but also it's too hot here and I'm sweating all the time and fan on. Mm.
Yeah, and that's winter.
What?
No. Yeah, it has been hot,
it's
eh?
Reversed.
It's been unusually hot.
Yep.
Punk gigs, dancing up and down on stage, you'd be hot under all those lights.
Oh, man, it gets sweaty.
Oh, no.
Last night was a scorcher.
Yeah. I know. I was dancing to Grace Jones. I know that what that was like.
Yeah.
She never got sweaty once, so I think she was a lot of talcum powder.
You're so on point tonight. I could just listen to 90 minutes of you talking.
Oh, Georgia, that's why you're my co-host. So lovely. So you've got. Usually I'm crap, guys. That's why. So you've got four of you here. How do you get a residency in Auckland? Is it a tough process to get it? Are you competing against other dance groups?
Yeah. It's basically a whole lot of paperwork. You pretty much have to explain yourself all on paper, which is extremely hard to do if you only do dancing and that's all you've trained in, and then you have to send a whole lot of paperwork in. Yeah, it took a long time and it's stressful, and you'll send in like 10 applications and get one back every 4 years, you know. It's like,
wow.
It's really hard, but also we're pretty fresh. We've just come out of training basically a year ago, so we're new in the industry, people don't know our name yet, so it's a little bit harder.
Is it only when people know your name that you get funding, or do you think it's... How does that work?
Well, it's more like we have to go to people to get our stuff out there, and I feel like the more you get your stuff out there, then people, you know, start coming to you and start asking you for things.
Right.
So it's... You've got to get your feelers out there, I think.
Is that maybe a benefit as well of coming up to Auckland, like going to different places and forging new connections? Also, I have a potentially silly question. What exactly is a residency? Is that like when you get the funding but within a particular
Yeah, place. So, like, they give you studio space, like, they've given it to us for a month, so we've had a month to use their facilities for free, and they give us, like, a fund, basically, to pay our wages to be there for that month.
Uh-huh.
And then we can essentially do what we want with the residency. So I pitched to do a show in a theatre, which is actually pretty bold because we've only had like about 3 weeks to make the work, which has been quite stressful. But you know what? Yeah. I'm only here once, so,
yeah. So
might as well put it out there.
We've had choreographers in here quite a bit on Quick Arts who say, you know, they're opening next week and we go, how's work going? Well, it's not finished yet.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of, yeah. It seems to be a way with dance because yeah. I suppose a lot of it comes from, are you working collaboratively together or are you the choreographer? What's your process?
Well, I am the choreographer and I come with ideas and things, but we all know each other pretty well and we sort of bounce on each other, workshop things. I often rely on them to, like, pull stuff out of what I've given them, and they always do, and they're all real individuals, so, yeah, it definitely comes out different to what I think it's going to be every time.
And the name of the work is?
Missing Lids.
Missing Lids, which is like missing socks, really, isn't it? And dryers. Missing lids in the pot cupboard.
Yeah, no, specifically missing your Tupperware lid.
Oh, I hate that.
You can never find that.
Yeah, no, I know. Right. We have a lid. We have a lid box now.
Oh, dear.
And next to all our containers, and it worked really well.
Okay.
Until other people come and stay, and they are helpful by emptying the dishwasher.
Yeah.
So with your residency, it doesn't imply like a residence. So do they give you somewhere to stay or do you have to find your own accommodation?
No, we find our own accommodation. I think, you know...
So it's a mixed blessing.
Yeah. Well, because also it was sort of, I guess, weird that I got it because I live in Wellington. They were like, are you sure you want to take this because you do live in Wellington right. And we don't have your accommodation and stuff.
Mm.
But, you know, I've got friends and things and you just...
You're couch surfing at the moment.
Yeah, I'm staying with my friend from high school.
Nice. Yeah. It's a good time to catch up.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, I'd really love to catch up with you. And by the way, I need to stay for just about a month.
Yeah. It's a month was just like a little bit too much, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
But that's what you have to do in this industry, eh? In this creative sector, you have to lean on your friends a little bit, especially your friends who are earning real money, you know, in Auckland.
I know.
Yeah. You got a job called Can I Come and Stay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a month.
Yeah, for a month. On your couch? Yeah.
Yep, and again in another month.
Are you coming back?
No. Oh. Well, I mean, we made the work in January.
Yeah.
And then we had a month off.
Yeah.
And then we got back last night at midnight.
Oh, gosh.
So we've had like 2 days to put the show back together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Phenomenal amount of pressure because have you forgotten anything?
Nah, they don't forget.
Yeah, muscle
memory.
They're
used to that, yeah. That's what happens. You just make a show and then, you know, the show won't be till 2020 and then you'll have to develop it again in another year. It happens quite a lot like that.
Mm-hmm.
So have you had to promote and produce the show and everything and choreograph the show all within this, like, month/3 week span?
Yep.
That's nuts.
Yep. And it's...
Would you do it again?
I was thinking about this today, actually, and I was going to say no... But then I always say no, and then I do the shows, and then it's just, like, worth it.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, and then I'll do it again.
Yeah, it's quite addictive as well. Yeah. Because it's like, if I was to do it again, I'd do these things better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I was to do it again, I would get someone else to do administration.
Yeah. Student job search.
Yep.
You guys, within the admin of a band, I mean, you guys are creative, you play music, you write stuff. Does somebody take charge as far as... PR, invoicing people for gigs. Invoicing, see, that was quite funny. does somebody do that? Is one of you a natural business person or do you split the chores? Who books the gigs? Who gets them?
It's funnily enough, I don't think we've only ever organised one gig for ourselves. Other than that, we've literally been invited by people, friends, bands that contact us and just say, do you want to play with us?
Yeah. This must be either really good or really nice.
That's a thing.
It's actually both.
Yeah.
Actually,
or maybe we're like in averagely nice and averagely good, and they add up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes wild. Everybody else is averagely good and just dickheads. Everybody else in the Auckland music scene.
Yeah, I reckon.
We've actually been lucky enough to have friends from Australia, whenever they do their New Zealand tour, ask to be shown around. So we become a little bit of a host, like a mother band for them. Yeah. So they'll stay either...
A mother band.
We'll stay at Jake's place. They'll either stay at Jake's place.
So use
our gear.
So my brother, he lives in Byron Bay in Australia, and he plays in a band called the Israeli Chicks, who they...
of course he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar style of music to us, and they play, you know, he's one of those people who's got, like, 3,000 friends that are all, like, you know, would he have them sleep on his couch in a heartbeat, you know?
Oh, you need to introduce him to Holly.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you're ever in Byron Bay and need a couch,
you
can be hooked up. But yeah, so he has, you know, he's friends with sort of probably 50 bands from Australia that, you know, are just doing their thing. Some of them are, you know, quite big, like Skegs and Dump Hunts, and you know, some of them are just playing gigs at the Northern and Byron for fun. But anytime, you know, they say, hey, we want to do a New Zealand tour, do you know anyone, he says you should talk to my brother's band. So we've been very lucky in that we've played with so many just awesome Australian bands that have come over and just wanted a band to open for them, and we've been available.
Which, and that increases your profile in...
Of course, yeah.
New Zealand and Australia, I suppose.
Yeah. I think probably no one's heard of us in New Zealand, and then maybe in Australia we're massive and we just don't know.
Yeah.
Have you played in Australia?
No, never. Oh, no, we have. I lie, I'm sorry. One time.
What are you talking about?
One time.
He can't remember that either. It's the same as the whole thing last night. He can't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Short-term memory loss, Jake. That's what happens when you...
Too much rock and roll.
And I've never met
loves.
Courtney Love.
Haven't you? She's quite an experience. It's a short-term memory loss you'd want, I believe. So, yeah. So you... That was terrible, wasn't it?
Sorry, I just realised something really disgusting on my sock.
Oh, okay. We don't need to... Because we're on radio. We don't need to share it.
Sorry, I totally missed it. You asked me a question. I was like...
That's right, I didn't ask you a question. Well, I did kind of, but I just... I'm going to move right back to Holly. Holly, you're quite sensible, really. That's quite good. So,
Am I?
Yeah, well, compared to Georgia. So, producing is a real tough job, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. What would you recommend to somebody who is doing their first dance show about, you should get an admin person, but if you had to do it yourself, what are some of the things that you need to bring to that? What's some of the skills that you have learned, have picked up, or have had to utilise? Or
You have to hack social media, I think. That's, like, you have to get the word out, because we got a very lovely call from the basement, you know, like a few weeks ago, being like, you've sold 2 tickets out of 300 and something, or whatever.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was good. And, like, the whole thing is getting the word out, telling people, you know, like, you need to expand yourself to as many different groups of people as you can, you know, and you can't limit yourself to just your industry, your people, dancers, you know. There's a whole lot out there that you have to unlock, and I think the sooner you can do that, the better.
And how do you sell your show? So is contemporary dance work?
Yep.
About Tupperware?
Well, yeah, it's not about Tupperware, but that was where...
So where did it come from?
The initial idea of the show came from a 1960s Tupperware commercial that I found on YouTube, and it was just like... so funny. It's just like all these women talking about how important Tupperware is and how it's just like a massive part of their lives, and it was just like a massive sing song. I thought it was really funny, so I was like, yep, we'll make the show about that. But what was the question?
That was the answer. That was brilliant. You did that without even knowing what the question is. That's pretty impressive. So are you harking back to that kind of 1950s, 60s, where women are with Tupperware and those sorts of things? Or, because, I mean, those commercials are very, very sexist, aren't they? I mean, women are in the home putting salads in and dancing around in frilly skirts in the fridge with their containers, which looked lovely. And there were Tupperware parties. People had Tupperware parties. Nowadays it's adult toy parties, and in those days it was Tupperware parties.
I think people still do have Tupperware parties.
Yeah, they do. Get out of town.
No, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
I think.
And because there's so many different types now, like those ones that, like, you know, fold up. We should have a Tupperware party.
Yeah, we should show you them.
Ooh.
I think that'd make good radio.
A Tupperware party.
A Tupperware party, yeah.
Yeah. My live broadcast. And coming up after the break, we've got a live broadcast of George's Tupperware show.
I think I've just figured out how to make some money from the arts. Tupperware. Come on, Click Arts. So
Tupperware. This week's special, 14 click clacks for $9.95.
What are click clacks?
Are they things that click together?
On the side.
Did you?
Do you just say I was going to sell 14 for $9.99?
I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. I'm going back to Holly. I'm trying to get out of the show. So is your dance show about that? Does it talk about this sort of stuff, or am I completely off track?
Oh no, it's not directly about that. It's sort of more makes a comment on different types of personalities of a woman, or how a woman can be portrayed in different ways, especially. Perhaps how society would maybe portray women nowadays.
Different from the 1950s, or you think the same same pressures, different?
Yeah, it's a little bit the same, but also a little bit different.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you have any Tupperware at home?
Not really, actually.
Okay.
I usually just save containers that food comes in.
That's the best way of doing it. You have to pay, eh?
Yeah.
You can have a takeaway container party.
Swap
different sizes. What's it like? So you punk rock, leading on from what Holly was saying. A woman in the music industry in punk, is it?
Oh, yeah, you mean a chick drummer.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use that term.
I know.
It's a bit of a... it's definitely male-dominated, but most people are pretty inclusive. Like, all the boys, like, these boys are great. And then the bands that we make friends with, like, yeah, it's male-dominated, definitely, but it's all good. You do, like, always, though, there's always, oh, man, chick drummer, that's me. And you're like, cool.
Yeah, I'm a drummer.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a drummer.
How did you guys get together?
Is this a story before?
Yeah.
8:30.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, quite the opposite to what you would think. We've actually known each other for, like, 12 years?
Yeah.
12, going on, like, Sean and I have known each other going on about 15 years, and then Cassie, maybe 8 or 9?
Probably like 9.
Maybe 10 years. But we all grew up in church together.
Okay.
In the same, like, youth group and stuff like that, and then kind of, you know, that sort of side of things matures and, you know, changes and stuff, but we're all met through church.
Yeah. Wow. Church to punk.
Yeah, so what came out of that was actually playing music quite a lot. So Jake and I have been playing music together for that almost entire 15 years. And then so we had this opening for Sean's birthday. Actually, Sam, Jake's older brother, had an opening gig bail on him 2 weeks before the show. And so he came to us and he was like, hey, listen, just do something. You and Jake, you've been playing music, just do something. And so we got Cassie on board after knowing her for like 9 years.
That she played drums.
She did not tell us.
She had told no one that she plays drums.
So why was that, Cassie?
Because I like to think that I didn't actually play them. Here's the thing. I used to play the drums when I was like 13 years old. And I played them for a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
But then I moved over here, sold my kit, kind of just never picked it up again. Made friends with these guys. They were all like super musical, real talented, and
that's not what you said in the green room.
Okay, but we don't talk about
sorry.
Anyway, so I don't know, yeah, we were just like one day hanging out and they started jamming. I was like, did you know that I actually used to play the drums?
We lost our mind.
And then I couldn't really play them that well anymore, but... Well,
and because we were kind of thinking a bit like, oh, yeah, like, used to play the drums, like, a bit of, like, and then we were like, well, we should have a jam and see kind of how it is. And then we just, like, played one time and she was me.
She crushed it.
Like, what?
Sam comes along and he's like, oh yeah, can you just do something please, because I need an opening act. And we were like, hey, sweet, we got this. And so in 2 weeks we had a Jake has a garage with a band thing set up, and we wrote about 8 or 9 songs, enough to play a show, and one of them was single that's on Spotify right now, and another one is the one that we might hear later, and one of them was a cover of Enter Sandman done really badly on purpose.
Who's the Sandman? What?
Oh, Enter Sandman.
By Metallica?
I don't know that
song. No one actually does. It's pretty low key.
Yeah. Metallica who?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. It surprised a lot of people. They're like, well, what's that? It sounds super original.
It's about like insomnia, not being able to sleep, or putting kids
like
to
that.
Sleep, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's quite
putting animals to sleep.
Sleeping generally. Yeah.
And we loved it, and it was awesome.
We kind of weren't supposed to be a band like forever. We kind of thought, oh, like we'll play this one show, and then that will be a fun weekend that we can tell our grandkids about. And
have you guys got grandkids?
Yeah.
You guys look so young.
I know.
45.
Yeah, I know.
It's his birthday every day.
He's reaching the hundreds of thousands now.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, let's listen. Let's listen to Helicopter Pilot. Tell us a little bit about Helicopter Pilot, because you just mentioned it then, Sean.
Helicopter Pilot is the first song we ever wrote.
Close to it.
I wrote the song on my girlfriend's dad's... Oh, I should say fiance's dad's acoustic guitar.
Congratulations. Is that new? Is that like...
Like 2 weeks now. It's pretty fresh. Yeah, so that's
cool. Is she listening? What's her name?
Her name is Maya. I have no idea if she's listening or not. If you are, you're real cool. I love you and all the
shout out.
You know, shout out.
You guys are really quite sweet for punk rock bands.
I didn't expect you guys to appear like that.
Listen to the song. It's great.
Thank you, Holly. Anyway, so I wrote this on my fiance's dad's acoustic guitar one morning when we were like, let's be a band. Let's, like, you know, write. We got to write, like, 8 songs for this gig. And I was like, I woke up with a riff in my head and I was like, I don't know, Helicopter Pilot. That's a thing that people do. And then that's been like our every gig, everyone's like goes off on the song.
They do a dance.
They've made
a
dance.
I know it's radio and you can't see me, but it goes like this.
Okay, it's like I'm describing this, like she is doing a lasso above her head.
Yeah.
The old Wild West Cowboys, eh? That would be a good way to describe it. That's kind of weird. That's great, though. I mean, that's a following, eh?
Yeah.
So, yeah, when Mum's out there with a lasso. Have you ever said, Mum, stop doing the lasso thing? It's embarrassing.
I'd never tell my mum to stop doing anything. Okay. She's not embarrassing.
Mm. Oh, you guys are just so sweet. It's just ridiculous. Come break some furniture or something. What happened to rock and roll? Did you expect more rock and roll, Holly?
I said to Holly. The mohawk.
Yeah.
On them.
On them. Yeah. So did I. Yeah. Okay, so it's Helicopter Pilot. And this is available on, you just have to put Sean's birthday or bidet.
Yeah.
Or B-Day, into, don't put B-Day, into Spotify, and it comes up. So let's have a little listen to this, and when we come back, find out, you know, you've been together a long time. How did you get involved in the art form that you're involved in? What pushed you into it? Was it Mum? We'll ask you the question when we come back with Courtney Love and Holly.
We'll be right back. helicopter pilot, I'm the leader of the pack. I'm a helicopter pilot working for Westpac. I'm a helicopter pilot saving the world from the sea. I'm a helicopter pilot, I'm the coolest guy you'll ever meet.
Do you want us to... should we answer that?
Answer?
How long have you been together?
Oh, did you ask the question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Year and a half?
Yeah, year and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty fresh.
So we formed on, well, for September 9th, Sean's birthday, our first gig, 2016?
It's 9/11, eh?
two days before.
Yeah.
But it's 9/11 here.
Yeah.
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 So we formed on 9/11.
Yeah, okay, good.
Not for that
just
reason,
saying.
But I guess we've, we like to keep that in our minds and hearts during every gig.
Yeah. Sure.
Two days before America's greatest tragedy. Yeah.
America's greatest tragedy was Donald Trump being elected. Let's move on.
America's last greatest tragedy.
Yeah. So you formed a year?
Oh, yeah. So we've been together about a year and a half. And we've written a bunch of random songs about dumb stuff ever since.
Pretty much. How many songs do you have?
We actually have a list of every song we've ever played that's just like our, if we were like, what are we going to play? We should play something weird. We like go in and like between, I think, between like covers, including covers and stuff that we've just done for fun, like one-offs, it's like 30 songs that we've played.
Yeah.
And then originals, we're probably on like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
Wow. So you got a whole like...
Maybe it's only 20.
Yeah, I don't
30
think it's
sounds
30.
Like a lot.
30 does sound like a lot. Let's learn 30.
Okay.
We're going to learn 10 more.
Yeah. So 30, that's a two-hour show, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but we wouldn't play that many.
Our longest was set as an hour.
Yeah.
We can do an hour if somebody's like, can you do an hour?
Do you do
like,
bar mitzvahs and weddings and funerals and stuff?
If the price is right.
that's a question we were talking about before about people, you know, bands ask, friends asking you to play and stuff.
Mm.
A lot of musicians, a lot of artists, actually, people in the arts get asked to donate their time for some good cause. And often, well, actually, you spend half your time donating your time, don't you? Because you don't get paid for the stuff you do. Do you get asked to play for free a lot?
Mm.
We've never been... never's a lie. But we have been asked to play for not a gig. We have to play for like a launch party, for instance.
Right.
So this coming month, late in the month, we are doing a launch party in Christchurch, which is awesome. And that's just for a good friend of ours who's doing a launch party for his barbershop business, Benny's Barbershops. And so that's going
to
be
shout out to Benny's Barbershop.
Shout out to Benny. No, and that's really cool. Though. That's really cool because he's aware of that as well.
Yeah.
And so he is helping us out.
We don't make a lot of money, but it's never cost us anything.
It's not about the money, though, is it? Would you do it if it was about the money?
No. And that's the thing. That's where I think that's what surprised us a lot when we got started was we played our first gig and it was massive. It was weirdly like
it was with my brother's
band. He came over. All of his friends came, and there was like I think we had 250 people through the door at that gig, and we were like so surprised. And then he was like, oh, yeah, and we like got some money for all the bands and just gave us like $150. And we were under the impression that we'd get paid nothing forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, going into it with the expectation that we'd get paid nothing forever has really been awesome for us because, you know, at a gig somebody will be like, hey, thanks for playing. We made a little bit on the door, so here's $40. And we kind of go away and go, $40? is this?
That's going to pay for Mac's on the way home.
Exactly. Pays for Mac's on the way home. But it's also paid for things like T-shirts and, like, you know, if we have friends who, for example, our friend James Dalton, like, mixed that track for us, we can just be like, thanks so much for, like, you know, mixing our track.
Here's $5.
Here's a little bit of money for helping us out, you know, and just being able to, you know, it means that when we, you know, we help people out and they can pay us just a little bit to show that they appreciate us being there.
Mm.
And then if people help us out, we can pay them a little bit just to show that, you know, we'd be like, we'd love to pay you more, but this is just to show that we're actually stoked that you could be here.
The same in dance, isn't it? When you're starting out, people do a lot of things for nothing just to get their name out there and just to get the work, because otherwise you're sitting around doing nothing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd, like, now I'd say 60% of the things I do is for free.
Wow.
Like, for sure.
So how do you survive? Do you have another job?
Yeah, I group fitness training at gyms, teaching, like, classes and things as well.
Do you enjoy that?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I like teaching. I always wanted to be a school teacher when I was little.
Oh, wow. Yeah, tell us about that. So you're at school, Holly. Didn't think you'd have a career as a dancer. Was that, that wasn't
I used to set up my room as a classroom and make my sister come in, and I asked my mum for, like, teaching stations, and it's like a whiteboard, fusion blackboard or something. I used to ask for that for Christmas. And then now my sister is actually training to be a teacher.
You inspired her.
Maybe.
She probably watched you through the gap in your door going, I want to be like Holly. And now she's going to be a teacher and she's going to do something useful, whereas we're in the arts. The arts are useful though, aren't they?
Oh my gosh. Every day. Killing
me inside.
Oh, we're in the studio. So real. And that in yellow morph suits.
Yeah.
And we're just going, what are we contributing to society right now? Like, seriously.
But what are you contributing? Let's have that conversation. What do the arts contribute to society? That's an easy one, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we talked about it at the beginning of the show. It's condiments.
That's George's contribution. It's mayonnaise. Holly, what do you think? Okay, so imagine a world without the arts. No music, no dance, no visual arts, no books, no knitting, no crochet, no theatre, no film. What would people do? Yeah, exactly. That's
my
point.
Oh my gosh, nothing.
Yeah.
They'd do nothing.
Yeah. Well, imagine how empty the world would be. So when you think about what you contribute, and there's always debates about this. There are revolutions, who do they get rid of first? Apart from the leader of the revolution. After the leader of the revolution, they aim after what the poets, the musicians, the artists, because they're the ones that comment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'm interested in your opinions on this. They're going, geez, we didn't come...
About who they asked on revolution.
Well, and also, why the arts? Why are they so important? Why is music so important to the world?
Give someone a release.
Yeah?
It's like a way for other people to escape their reality, I reckon. That's what I always get from, like, my flatmates or something. If they come and watch something, they're like, oh my god, that was so cool, like, I can't believe you guys get to do that all day. Like, I don't know, it's like an awakening for them or something.
You got it?
The end.
Yeah, I think it a lot of it, well, some of it's, you know, just fun, but then again, that's a part of it. Is I think it comes down to catharsis. It's like, you know, ways for people to experience an emotion that really just connects with them, you know. And it's like, you know, we might think that, you know, we wrote a dumb song about a helicopter pilot, but for somebody that, you know, probably not, but for somebody like, you know, that they might hear that and go, you know, oh, that's like, you know, that kind of sums up, like, you know,
Richard McCaw.
My attitude, or Richard McCaw, or like my attitude. I just like being like kind of fun and like, you know, dancing around or whatever. Mm. And then, you know, with people who put more effort into their art than us, because we don't put in a lot, you know, you can really get into some stuff that, you know, somebody sits down and goes, that's sums up in a 3.5 minute song or a hour, you know, dance piece or performance or a play or a movie or whatever, you know, what I'm feeling, what I'm thinking with, and better than I can, you know, better than I could. And, you know.
See, helicopter pilot for me, it just makes me want to dance.
Oh, so good. That's for me. That's exactly what it's supposed to do.
It makes me want to move.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. Exactly.
Which you can do the helicopter move.
Yeah, I could. Well, no, I'll never do that. I'm sorry, I'll never ever do that.
I reckon if you came to a gig, we could change your mind.
You'd do it.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd be on someone's shoulders and doing
wearing a red dress in the front row.
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love. Bring on Courtney.
Sean was about to launch into a really important.
I think all three of us would be really upset if someone didn't laugh at one point during our set. If we didn't get them to actually even just chuckle a little bit at some real dumb banter or some a silly song about the Teletubbies or
that's a real song,
something just bizarre that we do on stage, then I think we'd be upset. If we went there and treated it like a straight out and out perfectly rehearsed show, for us that's not what we're after.
You're doing it for the love.
Yeah.
Do you ever get worried that, like, it's not, you're not funny or, like, it's not going to flow properly? I don't know.
There was this one time.
At band camp.
We hadn't played too many shows.
No.
And we thought it would be really funny if we opened with the song "I Got a Feeling" by the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, yeah.
And
like a punk rock.
Yeah, a punk rock version of it. And so, like, if our friends had been there, they would have thought it was hilarious. But it ended up being a show where, like, it was a different, totally different crowd.
Mm.
And so, like, if we'd done it maybe a few songs in, people would have been like, oh, okay, we get it. This is kind of a piss take. But
impression that came off was that we were taking it very seriously.
Yes, and that we were a cover band and we chose to.
Oh man, and nobody laughed. They were all like, what have we come to?
But that's what happens when you play rest times, guys.
We kind of were just like,
move on,
next song.
But I don't know.
You're pretty funny.
We tend to, you know, I don't know. If Jake thinks about it too much,
he stops being funny.
Yeah, if all else fails, I climb on stuff and fall over and people laugh at that. So.
At least you have each other to...
Mostly.
We crack each other up a lot. If no one in the world finds us funny, we find ourselves funny.
That's all that matters.
You can't take yourself too seriously.
Friendship.
Yeah. I kind of see like a road movie called Sean's Birthday. It's like... I'm seeing this road movie of your lives. It could be quite funny. Some of the drama that would come out of that. So you were telling us, Holly, about your... So you wanted to be a teacher, and that's as far as we got, because I mocked you. So you didn't become a teacher. How did you get involved with dance? I mean, from a teacher to dance, were you a ballet girl at school or anything?
Yeah, I did ballet, but, like, ballet's so hard. It's really hard, and you get to a certain age... where you either go there or you remove yourself from the situation. And
you removed yourself from the
situation. Yeah, I did, which I don't regret. I still like ballet, but it's so hard.
Physically hard or just...
Yeah, physically hard. Yeah. You have to be a certain type of body. You have to have... It's a yes or no situation. You either have the thing or you don't have the thing. Yeah. There's no in-between, which is just the complete opposite to contemporary. Mm. Like, when we're training at the school, there's a contemporary course and a classical course, and you just can't even compare the type of people that come through. Like, we were just from different worlds, and it's just, like, it's so interesting.
It's like opera versus musical theatre.
Okay.
No, maybe not. That's not a bad comparison.
I guess, maybe, yeah.
Well, maybe the type of people who have... I don't know, maybe I'm stereotyping here. Type of people who go for ballet, sort of more aspirational. Type of people who go for contemporary, more real.
Ooh.
That's deep, eh? Maybe it's a bit too much of a generalisation.
Yeah. I think...
What's a ballet mums?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you sort of lose them when you get... Because, I mean, we all have to leave home to go to the school or whatever. You go and live in a hostel or something... So, but a lot of the classical people, they're real young, so they'll come like when they're 15 or something and they'll leave school. So for them, it's for some of them, it's like a big thing to be out of home that early and
drinking, partying, taking drugs.
Yeah.
Well, that's the rock and roll lifestyle, eh, guys?
Oh, that sounds more rock and roll than ours.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you. I was just joking. So the New Zealand School of Dance, that's where you went, right?
Yeah.
So do you do that when you're at high school?
No, you go there. It's a tertiary institution, so you go there after you finish school. So it's a three-year.
So the young woman, the age of her 15, leaving school and going. So, wow.
Mm.
Wow, they leave school to study.
But you kind of have to in classical. You kind of have to be...
But there's no guarantee of work in classical ballet.
But there's no guarantee in contemporary either.
Looking at the Royal New Zealand Ballet hiring rates this year.
I know.
Jeez.
It's quite controversial, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they haven't hired any New Zealand dancers.
I know.
I read somewhere that they weren't even auditioned. Isn't that true? That there were some New Zealand dancers that they didn't even audition them. So they're like, wow, you can't even...
I can't comment on that, but I know that they didn't hire any. So that's kind of weird, eh?
Yeah, but that's like... It's called the New Zealand School of Dance. In my class, I was the only New Zealander that graduated. The rest of them were Australian.
Wow. So it should be called the Australian School of Dance.
Yeah, it really should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they come over here, is it... Because they get free tertiary over here too, don't they?
No.
Australians do. We don't get it over there, but they get it here.
Do they?
Yeah, pretty sure about that. Google that for me, Georgia.
What, like now?
Do Australians get free tertiary?
No, not free.
Oh, sorry. They get tertiary at our rates, which is cheap.
Oh, yes, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
That is not fair.
Yeah.
I was like, free.
Free tertiary.
Well, that's something that Turnbull negotiated with John Key, so that's... No, he didn't. So the first... I wonder if they get the first 3 year, like it's coming up this year.
I don't know, I'll Google that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So when did you graduate?
2016.
We've missed a whole period here, just to get some context. High school teacher, want to be a teacher, New Zealand School of Dance. What changed your direction?
Well, I sort of, in the last 2 years of school, I was like dancing heaps after school and I sort of got like real into it and I started travelling around with it a bit and it was getting a bit more serious. Then I got into like the associates program at the School of Dance, which is like when you're a school student, you can like you audition to go there like a few times a year and stuff. And so I got into that and then I sort of got to the point where I was like, I had to apply for uni and I was like, oh, I'll just apply for this as well, see if I get in. And I just never ever got around to applying for uni. Like, I just always didn't quite want to do it. So I kind of just actually didn't get the deadline. Like, I kind of just didn't do it. And so I was like, okay, well, I have to get this one then, otherwise I'm a year not doing any, whatever.
And you got in.
I was lucky, yep.
Lucky or just talented? These things are never luck, because a lot of people apply, don't they?
Yeah.
So if you'd gone to university, what were you planning on studying? This is what I'm trying to get to the bottom of. If you hadn't have been a dancer, Holly would have been...
See, that's why I can't answer the question.
Don't know.
That's why I didn't go to uni.
You didn't know what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
But you wanted to be a dancer.
I don't want to be a dancer. I want to be something on the outside of that. I've definitely taken the road, like choreography, straight away. I knew it as... Like, when I was in the second year, I was like, I know I'm not the right personality to be a dancer. Definitely more of a personality to be, like, a choreographer, director.
Does that mean you're bossy?
Something like that. No.
You ask the hard questions here.
No, I just know what I want,
right.
Kind of. And it's just my personality because, I'm sort of like the person, if you can't get other people to do what you want to do, you know, if you want something, you've got to do it yourself. Which is definitely why I'm on this road. My parents like that too, I think.
Your parents supportive of what you're doing?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. My dad...
Sure.
My mum's like, yeah, like so supportive. And then dad's just like, don't come running to me when you got no money, blah, blah, blah.
Which will be every week.
Yeah, no, literally. But I was like, when I graduated, I was like, when I made the year and I hadn't come back to him for any financial support, I was like, you know, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
Living by myself in Wellington.
Wow. And your parents come to see your work?
Yeah, by flying up in the weekend.
Does your mum know Courtney Love?
No.
Okay, it's a theme. I'm just trying to find out.
Okay. No.
Well, that's good to have supportive parents. You guys obviously do because you've been talking about your parents coming to gigs and stuff. Did you always want to be involved in music from a young age? We'll start with you, Sean, because it's your birthday.
Yeah, I mean, I picked up the guitar when I was like 15. And
I tried to play it
for a little bit, be one of those self-taught, and then realised it doesn't work that way. It can work that way, but I got that head start of like a 10-week lessons. From then on, I bought my first electric, and then my music. It happened at the same time, so I would have called myself a complacent music listener, and then suddenly I chose to be deliberate about the music I listened to, and that just funneled down guitar. So started to pick up all range of music, where guitar was a pretty significant voice in that music, and then I just jammed to everything I could find. All the way from Dire Straits to Rise Against to trying to learn Comfortably Numb, Pink Floyd, you name it. Had a little blues streak, you know, tried to learn jazz, gave up on jazz, moved on, you know, like just explored guitar as much as I could. It was awesome.
Django Reinhardt. Mm. Yeah. Good selection of music you're talking about there. So did you just play along at home? Just listen to music?
Yeah, I played along at home. I'm not very good at listening to a song and just learning the song by ear. I've practiced that. Jake can listen to something and you can figure it out in the moment, which is incredible. I'm definitely not like that. So I just guitar tabs. Just that's my jam. Just
guitar tabs.
Guitar tabs. Like just learn the tab of the song, and just follow along. And that's awesome.
And so at school, did you want to be...
Nah, I didn't do any music at school.
What did you want to be? Did you have any plans?
I changed. Yeah? I changed every year. It was like a doctor. It was like, too much study. Engineer.
Cricketer at one point, right?
Cricketer, playing cricket, yes. Sports person, and then...
Because we're such a good cricket team.
And then it was like, I wanted to be an engineer.
Don't get him started.
I wanted to be an engineer, and then I failed physics. So I was like, there goes that engineering thing. And then I just moved into actually computing and design, and then just went down that road.
So you work in computer and design full time?
I'm a designer, like a UX designer.
UX,
like
what's
that? Yeah, I have no idea. Did you see how I look knowledgeable?
Yeah.
UX, yeah, of course.
In short, it's like user experience designer. So like websites, applications, apps.
Oh really?
Really?
Oh, I've got an app I need to talk to you about after the show. Hold that thought. I'm
Is
serious.
It the Kick Arts app or the Courtney Love app?
We're combining them.
You're one and the same.
It's going to be so sexy.
Kick Courtney Love. Oh,
yeah.
That's not a good name for that.
No. We'll work on that one.
Yeah, we'll Kick Love. Kick Love Arts.
Get it. We're getting it.
Kick Love Arts. Kick Arts Love.
And Sean will design your UXs.
User experience.
That's one.
So it's user experience. That's how you interact with it. So if I pick up an app and I go, this is shit, it's not working properly.
If you've ever picked up a... Yeah, if you've ever picked up an app and you intuitively say, I don't know what to do from now on, it's got bad UX.
There's a few of those around. And so music is a part-time thing for you.
But it's interesting. Like, if we have a show on that weekend, we can't not think about it. Like, we have a group chat on Messenger and it's just non-stop. We're just talking about it non-stop. So
are you group chat social media nerds?
Yes.
Yeah, our group
yes.
Group chat's pretty lit.
Did you just use the word lit?
No.
Well, let's go to you. We'll leave Jake to last.
I'm sorry, I've embarrassed him so much.
So what? Tell us about your journey. So you're not from... did I pick up that you're not from New Zealand?
Yeah,
you said you moved here when you were young.
Yeah. There's an accent.
Mm. Yeah, there is I can't pick it.
Both of these
English?
Two.
So I moved here from England when I was about 15.
Yes.
Okay. Nice. Holly, well done.
Yeah.
You get the virtual chocolate fish award this evening for Kick Arts. We give out a virtual chocolate fish every night and it's yours. I'll send you the link through our user app. Later on. Experience.
I've been here for 2 years and I've never gotten a virtual chocolate fish.
You have to be a guest.
Just saying, feelings very hurt.
Okay, I'll send you a box. So you came at school in England?
Yeah, so growing up...
playing the drums?
Yeah, so I started the drums because my oldest... my older cousin played the drums, and she was just too cool, and I was like, I want to be like her. So I started playing the drums so I could be like my cousin. And I went to, like... I just, like, went to this after school, like... It was called rock school, and we, like, just learned the drums, and then, yeah, like... The guitarists and the drummers and the bassists would all, like, learn the same song, like, separately, but then come back and, like, play it together. But then I was just, like, super shy and, like, never wanted to play. Like, I hated that. I was like, oh, I can't do it. And I just never really actually wanted to ever play in front of anyone. Like, even just practicing at home, I was like, don't listen to me. Like, just to the... my parents and stuff. But,
which is hard as a drummer.
Yeah. And they're probably going, okay, we won't.
Yeah, probably.
just don't play.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I don't know, like, when I moved here, I sort of just thought about it. I was like, what really is the point in me doing this? Like, I'm doing it because I kind of, like, I really enjoy it and it's cool, but also, like, you're doing the lessons and stuff and it's not really... I'm not going to do anything with it.
Mm.
So yeah, I just stopped. But yeah, I've always been into music and stuff. And like when I met these guys, they were all into music. So I guess that influenced the music that I was listening
to. Picked up the sticks again.
Well, yeah, and then yeah, we just—I don't know—it just kind of happened again, really. Yeah.
Do you have a day job?
Yeah, so I nanny, which is pretty great, and I'm also a photographer.
Wow, mm-hmm. another arts yes. aspect.
Yeah.
So and your parents love what you do now that you're not practicing in their house?
Yeah, pretty much. Nah, they're all supportive of like all of the decisions that I've sort of made. So it's pretty cool. Mm.
Jake, you've always been wanting to be Sean's friend.
Have I? I can actually tell you the first time Sean and I ever bonded was when I would have been like 12 and Sean would have been like 14 and we had the same pair of shoes.
Wow.
And we both had brown Vans with like tartany checks.
Yeah.
And we thought that was pretty cool. And then...
Rock stars.
Ever since, it's been a rocket ship to friendship.
Nice. So when you guys were at school, when you're at school, so he ended up being a USX guy,
Mm-hmm.
At school, what did you want to? Did you have a career aspiration? Did you want to be like?
I was always an acting kid, so I did shows and things like that.
Surprises me, you're quite shy.
I know. Yeah, that's what everyone says.
Quiet,
quiet, hey, unassuming,
shy and quiet. I was an acting kid, and then I did drama all through high school, and then in year 12, I started doing media studies as well, and kind of really enjoyed that. And luckily, at Auckland University, you can do both at the same time, which is fantastic. So at university, I studied drama and filmmaking, and then I went on to actually end up preferring filmmaking to acting. So I did a postgraduate in drama directing, and now 10% of the time I work as a film and television contractor, and naturally with that 90% of the time I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
And then when I'm...
I can relate to that.
And so in the 90% unemployed time I'm... do things like make music with these guys. I make my own music. I work on boats.
As a boat builder or...?
Like maintenance-y stuff.
Really? Cool.
I like paint, basically. Okay. Like it's not like I can fix a boat engine or anything like that.
Not many people can. I wouldn't let it
No, yeah. Much. And I'd probably specialized be more gainfully employed if I could, I reckon. Yeah. what else do I do?
Nothing.
I do some photography, but not like Cassie. Oh, yeah. Like she makes money off of it. I
some
don't.
Do you weddings?
I do weddings.
Wow.
Yeah. So
do a shout out for yourself.
Oh, okay. Well, plug it.
yeah, if you're interested, my brand is Just Love, and it's actually a social enterprise. So 10% of what I make, I give to an organisation called A Girl Called Hope, which supports girls with life-controlling mental health issues.
Wow.
Mm. Wow, cool.
Gonna change the wedding industry from the inside.
Yeah.
Because
there's a whole thing about, you know, telling our daughters and that not to aspire to be somebody else's possession.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Yeah. Change that mindset.
Yeah, and I just think, like, a lot of the wedding industry is, it's a bit of a money-making machine. Mm. And, like, you know, I'm involved in it. I love it. I love being at weddings. And, you know, the most important thing on the day is the story of the love of the couple that is, you know, getting married.
I had a civil union with my partner. Mm. It was my second time around. And she didn't want to get married, so we just had to have a civil union. And we charged people to come to our wedding.
Oh, really?
We gave them, we sold tickets, and that gave them a three-course meal. We said three-course dinner and a show. So they got beer and wine and a beautiful chef-cooked three-course meal.
Was
so.
The show the wedding?
Yeah.
Or was it?
Yeah. And the speeches afterwards.
After that free wine.
$33.
That's awesome.
Well, I had a house full of stuff, you know. I didn't want gifts, and I wanted to have people there. And actually, we had a venue where we couldn't fit everyone in, so we thought this would cull some people out. But actually, everyone came. So, you know, and it was a lovely day. It was nice. It was a nice way of doing it, because I think, going back to it, so the industry around, you know, I just read something recently, people were spending $40,000-$50,000 on a wedding for one day.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thinking, is that there's already so much money being spent in the industry, and so the thought is that you harness some of that potential and create, like, long-lasting impact sort of beyond the day. So, yeah, just changing some of those things that are money spent on temporary things to being actually money spent that's going to change someone's life. So.
That's awesome. Good on you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, Georgia, speaking of good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you for going to two shows this week.
Thanks. I actually went to more shows than that, but only two I'm obligated to review. So
obligated? That sounds terrible.
Yeah. Oh, but actually, I will. Can I give a little shout out to this week I had the absolute privilege of attending the acoustic showcase of Jeremy Redmore, who people mainly know from as a singer of Midnight Youth. So he was like really big in like a kind of poppy rock band like 10 years ago, and then he did like a poppy rock album which had succeeded quite well commercially. Like, quite often I Snapchat him when I'm in the supermarket and they play songs from the album, but he did an acoustic showcase this year of songs that he's been writing over the last couple of years since he's kind of been out of Auckland, out of the scene, and it was really good. Some of the songs were brilliant, and I took little videos, and I've watched the videos back because I liked them so much.
Cool.
So he was just kind of trying it out and seeing what people thought, and then he'll be releasing some music soon. I've told him he has to come on the show.
Sounds great.
And, yeah, so people should look out for that Jeremy Redmore is back on the scene, and so he's doing good stuff, and he's got great hats.
Great hats, good. Cookies.
Cookies. Judge Jury and the Cookie Monster, which is a Borrowed Time, which is John Burrow's production company, production, was on this week at the Basement as a part of Fringe, and it was really, really good. It was hilarious and really clever and thought-provoking, and John Burrow's is really, really clever, and people should go and see his stuff when it's on.
Mm-hmm. So this was the interactive one, with the other jury?
Yeah, and
the audience is the jury?
The audience is the jury, and then you vote, and then the play will go in accordance with your voting, and then the person who's the victim whose cookie had been stolen by one of the actors who you voted on was a different guest every week. So we had Kuda Forrester, the comedian, on the night that I went, and she was hilarious. So she's getting asked questions about, like, how she knows the different people and what her involvement is and what's the story of the cookie and stuff like that. So then they have to alter their stories also in accordance with that. So it's real. It's heavily improvised, but also has really great puns, and I hope that he'll continue to develop it and do it again, because it was really good. Absolutely. My one little thing, which is a personal thing, because I took along a friend of mine to kind of show what Fringe was all about, and I was really glad I did, because she really loved the concept and it was a great way to kind of introduce her into Fringe. and she didn't have a problem with this, but I did. I don't like it when people play a character that's, like, stereotypical of a race to give, like, the character, like, comedic value. And so, like, one of the characters was a French character, and she was quite kind of, like, a bit saucy, and she had, like, you know, a tight red outfit on, and she was the receptionist, and she was, you know, and it was very, like, stereotypical, like, sexy receptionist and, like, sexy French. And I just, to me, I just don't like it. I just don't think that's clever. And John is a good enough writer that he didn't need to do that.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, so that was really good.
And the, I was supposed to go to see
Billy T. James,
but I had a terrible migraine on Friday.
Oh.
It was terrible. I couldn't go.
Well,
I missed a good show?
You did. You missed a really good show. Sorry, I'm just bringing up the thing so I don't miss out any of the comedians that were on. So the Billy T Award is an award under the name of Billy T. James, which happens every year. So it's one of the two major awards that go to comedy every year, along with the Fred. Last year, the winner was Angela Dravid, who performed on the night, and she is absolutely brilliant. She was actually the highlight of the night, I felt. But that's not to say that the other, this year's nominees aren't great. So they were Donna Brooke Banks, who's my personal favourite, and I'd love to see her take it out. James Malcolm, Melanie Bracewell, Two Hearts, which is Laura Daniel, who everybody knows of, Jono and Ben, and Joseph Moore. And I feel like I'm forgetting someone. And did I say Melanie Bracewell?
Yep.
And Alice Sneddon, who is...
Strong representation of female comedians this year.
That's something that I was reflecting on. That, you know, and especially looking back at past winners and nominees, it's and looking at our scene in comedy in New Zealand as well, it is hugely dominated by men, and especially white men. And so that was quite interesting to look at comedy in the last couple of years. I mean, because it was Angela Dravid won the Billy T last year, and Rose Mataferro won the Fred. So it was like those are both women of colour winning the two main awards for comedy in New Zealand. So that was amazing, and you know it's hugely like well. And if it isn't a woman who wins it this year, if it's James Malcolm who wins it, he's an out gay man whose most of his comedy is about stories to do with him being gay. Not that he's laughing at being gay, they're just
he's quite, if I remember, he's quite young looking, isn't he?
He's quite young. I think he's from Christchurch.
Yeah.
He was hilarious. I really enjoyed him. Mm. And so I just thought that that was a real strength, and I thought that all of them were really good. My particular favourites are Donna Brooke Banks, who I think is like very clever. I find her comedy, she's very kind of slapstick, and she laughs at herself a lot. I've never noticed her to be like too crude or rude or anything, just really I really like her a lot. So they'll all have shows coming up during the comedy festival, plus they'll do a couple more shows I think together as a group, so definitely people need to go
and the program's out for the festival now.
Program's out for the festival. It's super exciting. I am excited.
We're going to be having our comedy special.
Yes.
With four comedians on. I don't have to say a thing. You've got four comedians on in Kick Arts. Just they just go for it. Really, it's quite amazing. Now, just getting ready. Sean's birthday is getting ready to do a live gig in the studio, which Georgia's going to film.
That's us.
Hey, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know.
Yeah, we're going to film this. It doesn't have to be good because, you know, we, you know, whatever.
Oh, don't worry, it won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just do a little bit of a line check here. I don't want you to... so just can
sure.
Come back from the green. Just do a little bit of a, you know...
Do you want it back here? Yeah, do you want it?
Bye.
Crush it.
Yeah. Oh, is it going to sound like that, is it? That's a bit of a worry. Okay. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah, I'll go with that. So tell us a little bit about the song before you go into it, Jake. What's the song?
This song is about, it's called Blue Pickup Truck.
Of course it is.
This song's about, we were at my house, we were having a practice one time, and I live across from the dairy, we'd just gone to get some snacks mid-practice, and there was a blue pickup truck that had this insane decal of like black skulls with a smoke cloud and like
We couldn't decide if it was the best or worst thing we've ever seen. And so we figured the only way to figure that out was to write a song about it. And we still don't know if it's the best or worst.
Well,
but it's kind of about, you know, someone who might drive a car like that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so take it away.
Maybe I just do the snares and I'm sure
I'll... Is that the speaker?
Yeah, I'll start. Oh, you can start it? I'll just start.
Yeah, you start it.
Okay, and just hit the chorus.
Pickup truck with some skulls on it. I'm gonna drive it around and around, cause I'm the shit. When you see me around,
na 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 na.
When you hear that sound,
na 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 na.
No need to frown, my engine roars so fucking loud. In my blue pickup truck. Got a blue pickup truck with some skulls on it. I'm gonna drive it around and around, cause I'm the shit. When you see me around,
na 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 na.
If you hear that sound,
na 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 na.
I'm burning rubber, then I'm burning you down. In my pickup truck, blue pickup truck,
na 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 na,
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 blue pickup truck, in my pickup truck.
Wow.
Oh, well, thank you. We've never done that acoustic before. It's interesting.
Kind of weird, yeah. It had a bit of a Nirvana feel about it. Yeah, it did. It kind of had that.
That's a high compliment.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great album. That's an awesome album. That is. Yeah, Cobain.
Thank you. Speaking of Courtney Love.
Yeah, wow. See how I brought that all back.
Full circle.
Hey, mate.
Full circle. You got to run a tight ship on the radio.
We certainly do. Hey, that's good. So that's Sean's birthday. They've got a... well, you can talk about it. Talk about your gigs coming up. This is time for shameless promotion time.
Oh, plug.
Yeah.
So into the mic, guys. So tell us about your... First of all, where can they access your music?
You can listen to one song of our music right now on Spotify and Apple Music
and
Google Play and Bandcamp and SoundCloud.
Wow.
Five.
So you can listen to five different versions.
Well, the same version, but five different times if you really want to.
But we should do five different versions for different platforms. How alienating would that be?
Yeah. Imagine if you thought you knew a song and you were sharing it with a friend and it was a totally different song.
Yeah, that'd be funny. Same title.
You'd look like a right fool, I reckon.
our next up-and-coming shows are on the 16th of March, playing with mates Groove Lagoon.
At Panhead.
At Panhead on the Viaduct. And then on the...
Where's Panhead?
It's actually a new pop-up bar there. I don't know if that's actually going to be a pop-up bar anymore. They look pretty well set up. Down by the Viaduct by... Nightingale, I think it is, and Rudy's. Yeah.
I've never been, but I've heard great things.
It's a great venue.
Yeah, it's cool.
And on March the 17th, we are playing with good friends Daffodils at Portland Public House.
Yeah, that's St. Paddy's Day. So
that's St. Paddy's.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Are you a Daffodils fan?
Oh, my gosh, that gig will be amazing.
Have you seen them live before?
I haven't seen them live.
You need to go.
I need to come to both of them.
So we, one time, were playing with a gig with our really good friend, Scared of Girls,
who are
amazing. We love Scared of Girls. They're moving to Wellington. It's very sad.
Yay, says Holly.
Yeah. But we were playing a gig with them, and they were like, oh, and we've got this band, Daffodils, opening. Mm. And we were like, okay, never heard of them. We sort of met them all. They're like 18-year-old.
They look so cool.
Didn't they come out of Smoke Free?
Yes.
Rich and I often talk about how freaking awesome Smoke Free is.
It's
like,
great.
It works.
Yeah.
You get some incredible talent coming out of there. Yeah.
So they came out of Smoke Free. They played this, they opened for us.
On the show.
Daffodils?
Yeah.
Have we?
I think we had them on.
If we have had them, I wasn't here.
No? That I think we've had them on. I've got a feeling.
Theo and Jade and awkward.
Cool. And anyway, it's about you. It's about you guys. It's about you guys.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry. So we played with them one time. They opened. They blew us away. They're so incredibly tight.
Good.
They're amazing, and we were just like, why are you opening for us? We should be opening,
for you guys.
And lo and behold, a month later, 2 months later, now we are.
I know, I saw them. Actually, I was site managing a music in Parks 3 weeks ago in Teletu, and they played. They were awesome.
Yeah, they're so talented.
They got that 80s sound.
Yeah. And he's got a really cool 80s kind of Cure voice almost.
Yeah, and he's got the 80s sound down. He's got the blonde hair and the multicolored jacket.
He used to
go to Western Springs College.
Now
I knew George. I knew them somewhere.
We have to get them on the show.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
Yeah, you should. They're really awesome. And so we're playing with them. Yeah. That'll be fun.
And then if you're lucky enough to be in Christchurch on March the 24th.
Well, there's two words you never heard very often together. Lucky in Christchurch.
Yeah, that's when we're playing for.
Yeah, so we're playing a launch party for our friend Benny for his barbershop. There's going to be free drinks, free food, but I think it's invite only.
Oh, okay, never mind. It's great. Everything I just said.
Sorry to sell you guys on that and make it sound so awesome. I mean,
tell Bobby?
Benny.
Ben and Jerry. That I'm just looking forward to the invitation in the mail. So kickarts1@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you're in Christchurch, we'll get you in.
We'll get you
in. We're good at sneaking people into gigs.
How many people, though, walk up to gigs and go, I know the band? Yeah. No, you
so
don't.
So many people. So as someone who does doors often, so many people.
I know. And they don't really know them.
Yeah, but you know that's the thing about phones now is I'll say to people, like, can I have some proof? Like, do you have, like, a text message conversation? Do you have an email? Do you even have them as a contact on your phone?
Are they actually one of your friends on Facebook or Instagram?
Yeah, because then you kind of get people go, oh, maybe I just might take it.
Yeah, that happened to me at a Courtney Love gig.
Especially tickets these days are what, like, you often like $10 to $20 something. Why bother skinting on it?
Well, that's the thing as well, that you, like, everybody in this room will be well aware that the risk that people actually put up in doing shows of any kind in New Zealand in the art is just huge.
Yeah.
It's like, it's ginormous.
Yeah.
So actually most of the time people, if they're not cutting even, they're losing money. You know, the percentage of people actually making.
Well, you guys
money
all know that working
artists.
In the arts. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
So if you want to pay and go and see gigs.
Yeah.
Pay for gigs, everybody.
Pay for gigs.
It's worth it.
Or swap something.
Yeah.
Barter.
My children.
Yeah, like your children.
Yes. Found a way. Okay, Holly.
Hello.
So how much to go and see your show? And it opens on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, the 6th of March.
Yep.
It's almost in May, the 6th of March, at the Basement Theatre.
They're $15 to $20.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And the show's called, and they can get tickets from?
The show is called Missing Lids. They can get tickets online at the Basement Theatre. 6th to 10th of March, there's 5 shows, 6:30 p.m. It's 45 minutes, it's not long. So you're not going to use up your whole night, no. Yeah, we open next week, so get your tickets.
And it's about Tupperware, kind of.
Yeah.
So look.
Oh, the lights
went
on.
Yeah, our lights went off, just because you can't see this because it's radio, but our lights went off while ago. They've come back on, just as Holly said, you can get your tickets from
TheBasementTheatre.co.nz.
Wow.
I think it's there. I don't even know.
Yeah, just Google The Basement. Yeah. Those people from Auckland know that. Just go to Basement Theatre and it'll come up. And it's fantastic, and good luck with that. That sounds like a great little gig, the Basement Theatre. And congratulations on your residency as well here in Auckland. Mm-hmm. And I hope that you have had a good time. I know Auckland's not Wellington, and will never be Wellington in the same way that Christchurch will never be Palmerston North. But, but yeah, good on you and good luck with your career. All of you, thank you so much for giving up your time to come on to Kick Arts and share your stories with us and Georgia. And it's been great. And our listener is very pleased. Hey, Courtney, and I'll give you a call later, mate. So I'm going to go out. So I had such a good time I listened to Grace Jones last night. I've got to play this track. And I'm dedicating this to my lovely partner, Imogen, because we went to see Grace to see this particular track and she never played it, so we were a little bit grumpy. We weren't grumpy at all, but I love this track as well. It's quite appropriate for Auckland in the summertime, I think. We all know I'm talking about walking in the rain. So don't forget to join us next week, same time, same place, same channel, 104.6 FM. If you want to come on the show and talk about what you're doing, all you have to do is email us, kickarts1@gmail.com. Or go on our Facebook page. We'll have the show on air, ready to download for you 5 minutes after the show finishes tonight. So all you have to do is just... All you have to do is just go on there and click the link and you can hear this show from tonight, this fantastic show with the wonderful guests, and also all the other shows right back to when we started in 2012. I've been Richard Green. That's been Georgia Parker. Go out there this week, have a great time, and kick some arts.
Walking down the street, kicking cans, looking at the billboard. Oh, so rad. Summing up the people, checking out the race. Doing what I'm doing, feeling out of place, walking in the rain. Feeling like a woman, looking like a man, sounding like a no-no. Making when I can, whistling in the darkness, shining in the light, coming to conclusion, right is night, is time, walking, walking in the rain.
whatever, 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 what